Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Last year was the beginning of the new normal in Trenton. This year's budget continues to build on what we started.
New Jersey Governor Chris Christie yesterday talking about the new normal in New Jersey. He was unveiling what he's calling a no-growth state budget, containing benefit cuts for state workers, Medicaid cuts, a tax cut, and small increases in education aid. Good morning. I'm Andrea Bernstein, in for Brian Lehrer. Today, we'll talk about Christie's crowing about how governors across the country are following his lead. But as the economy enters the third year of high unemployment, is Christie putting the state of New Jersey on a sustainable course? Joining me to discuss the New Jersey budget and Governor Chris Christie is WNYC senior political reporter Bob Henley. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Andrea.
And by the way, before we launch into our discussion, I wanted to mention that today's informal, unofficial, unscientific opinion poll is now up on our politics website. It's a free country, and it asks exactly about this budget. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie is saying that $458 million in direct property tax rebates can only go forward if state workers chip in 25% more for their health premiums. We want to know, what do you make of this trade-off? So go to itsafreecountry.org and answer our informal, unofficial, unscientific opinion poll. And if we get enough of you responding by the end of the segment, we'll let you know what the results are. So good morning, Bob.
Good morning.
First of all, what's in this budget?
Well, for people that follow education, there is a $250 million increase in aid. But comes a year after the governor slashed it by $800 million, almost 10%. So it's like, you know, if you get hit by a 2x4 one day and somebody comes back with a small switch, you feel like, oh, it's not so bad. And then also advocates for the urban school districts point out that he's still short, according to their calculations, some $2 billion in terms of aid that goes to inner cities that was required by a court decision that found that New Jersey had chronically and historically underfunded education in poor districts in violation of the state constitution. Now, of course, Christie takes that head on and points out that, you know, in his worldview, money does not equal quality education, and points out that there are 104,000 children, mostly of color, in some 200 schools that are failing. And these kids are these educations are costing something like $27,000 per kid. So he says money's not the solution, and uses that opportunity as a way of once again leveraging significant change in something as basic as tenure.
So one of the things about New Jersey that makes it so interesting is, as you know, it's on a different election cycle from the rest of the country. So,
right.
Christie, this is now his sort of second year of, you know, putting forward these Christie principles, and a lot of governors across the country are just beginning. Is there any danger that he sort of runs into some blowback from some of the things that he's starting to put in, or is the reaction you're getting from New Jersey residents that, you know, they feel sort of pretty good about the course of the state?
What is interesting is the data that Professor Peter Woolley has from Fairleigh Dickinson's Public Mind poll, which shows that organized labor has a real problem in New Jersey. When union households, state public organized union households, are asked how they feel about Christie's approach, by like a wide majority, they support the idea of not increasing spending and not increasing taxes and holding the line. So that creates a kind of Reagan effect, if you will, where the union leadership is being split off from the rank and file, which gives Christie a lot of leverage. And I might add, the legislature all has to face the voters in November. There are some unique circumstances, though, in New Jersey, which really make it different than Wisconsin. And that is a bipartisan malfeasance in managing the pension fund. There's a $54 billion unfunded pension liability currently, and also a $67 billion health benefit unfunded liability for public workers. And New Jersey is the only state, I believe, in U.S. history that the Security Exchange Commission cited for materially misrepresenting its balance sheet when it was selling bonds. So we have some things here that, you know, people try to apply this across the country, but states, Andrea, are like snowflakes. Each one is different.
Let's talk about that in 1 second, but I do want to put the question that you just raised to our listeners. So I'd like to hear from unionized households only. What do you think of what Governor Christie is saying about cuts and benefits to public workers? And if you are a public worker yourself or a retired public worker, I'm wondering how you are weighing in your mind the tax cuts that Governor Christie is proposing versus the cuts in public benefits. So once again, unionized households, call us, give us your reaction. It can be private sector unions, public sector unions. We want to hear from you. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. You can also comment on our political website. It's afreecountry.org. Give us a call. Bob, now let's sort of break down some of the kind of big areas of this budget. You were just talking about schools. Let's flesh that out. I know that there was some sense among some educators that the school system in New Jersey, which has, you know, historically been a place where people move to because of good public schools, is getting
cut property
values, too close
that
it's getting cut too close to the bone, and that, you know, you can't take more out of it. And I'm wondering whether the sort of small increases that Christie is talking about is going to address that concern, or whether there's going to be more of that, you know, kind of
it's funny,
blowback in the year to
come. That's a really good point, because one of the things we're seeing is that the town hall meetings, even in traditionally Republican areas, you're seeing PTAs and individuals stand up and say, I'm from someplace like Bernardsville or some other district where they had to raise private money to keep their full-day kindergarten, and they're not getting state aid at this point. They now will get a little increase. And one of the things that's going on here is that even if you add $250 million to state aid, there is a dramatic increase, double-digit increase, in health care premiums that municipalities are having to pay for their workers. And that is exempted from for the property tax cap. One of the things that there was a bipartisan agreement on, the Democrats who control the legislature and Christie imposed, starting in January, a 2% on property tax increases. The problem is that there's a lot of exemptions to it. So the concern is that what we'll continue to see is that these costs that are not covered by the cap will continue to force local districts to lay people off. You'll see class size go up, and there is no federal stimulus. That is done with. And last time, Speaker Pelosi, when she was Speaker Pelosi, and the president put together a package specifically aimed at helping keep teachers in the classroom. That money's gone.
Now, Bob, you have done some reporting over the years, and we've talked about this, on the layers of government in New Jersey and how there are so many, not only different authorities, but so many local subdivisions of government.
Right.
And there are workers collecting salaries from several different subdivisions at once. Did Governor Christie get to that in his budget at all this year?
There is. Historically, they have gotten, even under Governor Corzine, to be fair, the tide started being pushed back a little bit. You did have a situation where you could have double and triple dipping, where you could be mayor of somewhere, assembly of somewhere, and also on the local sewer authority, all simultaneously. That is gradually getting squeezed out. But still, there is this structural problem, which goes back to the period of time where New Jersey was Dutch and not English, where home rule is critical. So you have 566 towns. In my entire life of covering New Jersey, only one town has been eliminated, poor Pequari. It came down to 13 people they threw in the towel. And so in each one of these municipalities has its own retinue of independent authorities and utilities, your parking authority, your improvement authority. And so they're trying to get that back under control. But that's the architecture that is squeezing out other priorities.
13 people, it's like a dinner party. It's like the Last Supper. All right, we've got a lot of people calling in. We're going to get to your calls in a moment. I just wanted to play another little piece of tape of Christie from yesterday. And, you know, one of the things, and you and I have been talking about this, is that with Christie, he's really sort of gathering steam as he talks to national Republicans about his, you know, the sort of gospel of Christie,
if you
will.
Right,
you know,
right,
to sort of
right.
Like this is the, you know, he's giving this tough love to his state, but it's going to get the state out of the problem. So let's listen to a little clip from him yesterday, and then after we come out of it, I want to get your reaction to this.
Last year, school districts saw cuts in their funding because our state was facing a fiscal emergency. Today, because of the hard and necessary choices we have made, I am pleased to report that we are able to provide an increase of $250 million in school aid. Now, this will allow every district in the state, to receive increased aid. The need for reform, of course, is more urgent than ever. This is the third big challenge we must address this year. We need to reward excellent teachers. We need to put an end to automatic tenure. And we need to give parents trapped in failing schools a choice for a better future for their children.
So, Bob, how is this playing, you know, out in – how is it playing out sort of out on the hustings when he is sort of talking about, you know, his – the success of his brand?
I think what's happening is that for New Jersey residents, when you go outside of the state, it is changing the conversation around being from New Jersey. Whether that's a stroke of marketing or not, I was on vacation with the family, and it came up. Someone said, oh, you've got Governor Christie's, he's doing such a great job. So whether it's true or not, there is this perception out there that New Jersey is kind of like setting an agenda for change. Now, of course, when you drill down, there's things like Medicaid cuts and the rest, and the reality of police departments being cut, and the national media doesn't spend much time doing that. I mean, the Camden Police Force, a huge chunk of it being given pink slips. And so there is this kind of potential disconnect, if you will, between the local reality and the national legend. But for right now, he's giving the state a sense of momentum, and I guess that's kind of what we ask from leaders.
All right, we are going to take some calls at 212-433-9692. Phone lines are almost full, 212-433-WNYC. You can always go on our political website, itsafreecountry.org, in your give us a comment there, or you can just hang on a second and try us in a moment. We're going to take some calls. Harriet from Union, hi, you're on WNYC.
Yes, I would like to know if my my pension and my medical benefits can be legally changed. I'm 83. I have been retired since the early 90s, and I am a member of the NJEA.
Bob, do you know the answer to that?
Well, yeah, what's going on here?
I can't hear you. Can you speak louder, please?
Sure. One of the things that's going on is it's my understanding that they're focusing on the going forward and the current workforce. I mean, that's one of the things. I don't believe that they're going back retroactively to the people that are retired.
All right. Thank you for your call, Harriet. I'm sure it's a question on a lot of people's minds. Let's take another call. Ross from Watching. Hi, you're on WNYC.
Hello. Good afternoon. Good morning. I'm calling in response to this. I'm a union member, and they're asking everyone to make concessions. But what I haven't heard from any senator, congressman, or any elected official who are all basically paid by the taxpayer and have health care and benefits, that they're going to not take their benefits because the rest of the country's hurting so bad, and that might reduce, you know, the federal deficit and state deficits by not having to pay them. Just as Lee Iacocca took a dollar a year pay when Chrysler was going out of business. Everybody's got to buckle down. They gave themselves raises 3 years ago, and now they're looking to take everything away from the working man and the middle class and just give more to the rich.
All right, Ross, let's get an answer from Bob Henley.
Yeah, I think that that's a very valid observation in terms of setting a tone of leadership. And the other thing that
Have you heard that, Bob, from Governor Chris Christie or, you know, anyone?
No, actually, what Governor Chris Christie does and uses it quite effectively in his town hall speeches points out that as a federal employee, he had much less generous benefits than he does now as a state employee. And so he uses that with great effect. I think there is also the sense I hear often from union households and from union leadership, the sense that we do need to look at, well, what created this national scarcity right now? And they point back to the fact that Wall Street, often with criminality involved, drove the global credit system off a cliff. And what we're seeing is very little accountability in that regard. We see the federal government, the Federal Reserve, and taxpayers bailing it up and holding it up. and yet we can't even get these multinationals to bring their overseas profits back home so that they can be taxed. So there is that sense that this national sacrifice is uneven.
All right. Thank you for your call, Ross. Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer, speaking with WNYC senior political reporter Bob Henley about Governor Chris Christie's budget announced yesterday. We're taking calls from union households about what you think of Governor Chris Christie's proposed changes. Would you like to have a property tax cut potentially in exchange for getting paying more for your benefits potentially? And as Bob and I have been talking about, this is sort of, probably a prospective calculation. But do you think that's fair? Do you think that's a good idea? Let's take a call from Harold from Hawthorne, New Jersey. Hi, Harold. You're on WNYC.
Hi. I am a retired public school teacher 11 years ago. My state pension is $3,500 a month plus Social Security, another $2,000 a month. In the last 5 years, my wife and I have each had major operations costing $100,000 each. All of this has been paid for. This huge amount of government money, tax money, that has come in for my wife and me has been an embarrassment to me for this whole time. I'm not going to give it back, but it is just an outrageous amount of money.
Well,
and that's really what I want to say. Go ahead.
To be fair, Harold, I mean, the money that, if you have a $100,000 operation, that would have been paid for by insurance, not, presumably out of your own pocket.
Well,
nor is it being paid out of pocket by the taxpayers exactly, right?
That is true. But the baseline, of course, is that those huge amounts of pension and Social Security, which are all charged to the taxpayers.
Harold, I want to read you a comment yesterday by the AFL-CIO of New Jersey, which they put out a statement. They said, the theme of Governor Christie's budget address can be summarized in one word, divisive, whether it's low income in the middle class versus the wealthy, or government employees versus seniors, or public education versus charter schools. His message is a clear one. The politics of division trumps good public policy. What the governor is forgetting is that we are all citizens, we are all taxpayers, and we need to be able to afford to live here. We all have a stake in New Jersey's success. Can I get your reaction to that?
Well, here's my contradiction. I am a lifelong liberal Democrat. I do not like Mr. Christie. But that statement rings a truthful bell to me. And I cannot deny the truth that's underlying it.
All right. Thank you very much.
One of the things that's important to note here is that there are certain macro trends that New Jersey shares with the rest of the country and indeed confronts the federal government right now. Currently, to provide the benefits that the state does to its public workforce costs the state $4.3 billion. Okay? So it's gone from a 3.3% of the state budget as recently as fiscal year 2002 to 9% today. That is not sustainable. And so what's happening is we have to have a national conversation really about longevity, what the implications are of living longer, and because all of these social contracts were conceived of in a time when people were not living as long. And so it's really, we can look at it state by state, but this is the central challenge of our time.
But Bob, I know that when I've spoken to union activists and I sort of asked them about that, their response is twofold. They say two things are going on. One is that, and it's certainly true of New Jersey, the government has not paid in its share over the years. And as a result, the pension funds become underfunded and the gap grows bigger and bigger. And then they also say, look, there was a financial collapse. Of course the pension funds are going to go down when the stock market goes down. But that their argument is this is not the fault of union members, nor should they be required to pay for it now. What have you heard as a response to those points?
I think that specifically in New Jersey, there's a situation where you're correct that both parties, when they were in control, failed to keep current. And as a matter of fact, even Governor Christie, though criticizing previous governors, has not made the contributions that are suggested by the folks who keep track of this. And as a matter of fact, in another very interesting strategic move, he has said that he will make the $500 million payment that's required to the pension plan, but only contingent on significant pension reform, including raising the age for retirees and getting rid of cost of living increases that automatically kick in. Now, of course, Democrats say, wait a minute, you're obligated under the law to make this contribution. Christie says, well, I'm the governor and I want to leverage this contribution to make change, and hence the standoff.
By the way, I wanted to remind people of our informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific poll on itsafreecountry.org. We'll be announcing the results in a few minutes. But if you haven't had a chance to go on and answer what you think about a potential tax break versus benefit loss, go on to our political website, itsafreecountry.org, and weigh in. 212-433-WNYC, Andrea Bernstein, into Bob Henley. We're talking to New Jersey union households about the response to Christie's budget. Here's Joe from Morristown. Hi, Joe. You're on WNYC.
Hi. I'm a public union member, and in the past couple of years, going back to Corzine, we took a lot of cuts. We took furloughs. We took more contributions into our health care. And the one fact that no one seems to be talking about is that New Jersey has the third highest number of millionaires in the country. The entire country. We have over 200,000 millionaires living in New Jersey, and Christie is cutting their taxes, and he let a tax increase for them go by the wayside. So it's a little bit hard for union members to take the cuts that we're taking, the sacrifice that we're making as middle class citizens in a very high priced state where a house costs $400,000. When millionaires in this state are getting tax cuts, and that seems to be more of a Republican agenda across the board, but once again, millionaires are not leaving New Jersey because of high taxes. If they are, they're only going to two other states. So,
Bob, you want to address what you've heard?
There is. I mean, I had mentioned we discussed this a little bit before with the other caller, in the sense that there is this sense that people at the top who did so very well during the Bush administration and really have done very well over the last 20 years, irrespective of who's been in control, are not paying their fair share. And there is this concern of this growing disparity. I mean, it's not accidental that the IMF, International Monetary Fund, and outside economic observers who aren't part of the mainstream media here have pointed out, even Ben Bernanke, that our income inequality is something that is actually very similar to what happened in the Depression, the sense that I think, you know, in New York City, this is some fabulous statistic that it's like 1% have 44% of the income or wealth. And so there is something, and, you know, Paul Krugman's spoken about this, former Secretary Robert Reich has spoken about this, and New Jersey is kind of this the ground zero for that, if you will, is that growing disparity. The question is, what can a governor do in terms of affecting that policy? Now, yesterday, Democrats were quick to point out that Christie is, in his $200 million business tax-cutting plan, trying to raise the exemption on estate taxes. So that, they say, you know, aha, here's an example. Now, of course, Christie will counter, as will Cuomo, a Democrat, and Bloomberg, an independent, that the rich will leave if we tax them. And so that is, you know, that's what we keep hearing over and over again. But this sense of social equity and also the past malfeasance of government are creating the circumstance we're in.
And we'll be discussing how state governments and state budgets are structured very shortly with Tracy Gordon, the Brookings Institution fellow. But, Joe, let me just ask you a question, Joe, from Morristown. Under this budget, you as a do you own your home in New Jersey?
Yes.
So you would potentially get a property tax cut in exchange for state workers agreeing to give up a portion of their benefits. Does that seem like a fair trade to you?
No, obviously, because I pay taxes. I live in an area that has very little services. We don't Right. have police. We don't have fire. I live in a rural area. Our taxes are probably the lowest in the state, though, relatively speaking, they're high. But we recognize that we need good schools. We need good public schools because most of us cannot afford to send our kids to private schools like Christie can and mm-hmm. like a lot of other very wealthy people do. So we need, you know, the income going to the schools. And frankly, we know a lot of teachers personally, and teachers do not get paid too much. You know, most teachers are making about $45,000 a year. The one, you know, they have to work 30 years before they're making a decent salary at the higher end, and for living in a high-priced state like New Jersey. I think what's not being talked about is the high price of services in New Jersey. Christie is not attacking the trade unions, but the cost of everything in New Jersey is extremely high. From, you know, if a school has to have an addition put on, those costs are so much higher in New Jersey than anywhere else, and those costs are not being you know, you can't blame them on public workers.
Well, actually,
we're going to have to wrap up this segment now.
There is a new school construction program that Christie's rolled out to try to get some control over what has been really, you know, billions of dollars in the school construction program have been spent, and they didn't accomplish near what they had promised.
By the way, I wanted to mention, as the segment is ending, and of course we are continuing to take results, but the majority of responders on the itsafreecountry.org, thoroughly unscientific, unofficial, something or other, I'm forgetting the last adjective, forgive me, I know I'll remember it in a minute, but the exit poll that is not a poll, say, it's simple arithmetic, Christie's right, you can't have it all. We will continue to take responses on our website, itsafreecountry.org, so go there and weigh in, and we'll give more results at the end of the show. Informal, unofficial. Thank you, producers. By the way, Bob, I heard over the weekend that Governor Christie is going on a diet.
Does this
indicate that he is actually potentially thinking about a 2012 political run?
No, I think that he said rather poignantly on today's show, he's got kids and he wants to be around to see them grow up. And I think that also there's no doubt about it. I mean, as President Obama evidently faced down his smoking addiction, there's a certain obligation. If you're going to talk about leading the nation or leading a state, you have to be willing to make the tough choices for yourself.
All right. Thank you so much, WNYC senior political reporter Bob Hennelly. We will continue to talk about state budgets, but all state budgets on the national scene right after this break. Stick with us.